Oh, all right. What's going on, guys? You are listening to the You Can Miss Me With That podcast. My name is Luther. I'm on here with Pee Wee trying out something new. Yep, video calling. I've been saying it forever. And looking at different ways from Google Hangouts to Zoom. I don't like Zoom because apparently it'll be stealing your information. I'm like, everybody steal my information, but I like, yo, Zoom. For some reason, I just got bad feeling about this. That's why I'm not using Zoom. But I should. This actually should be way easier for me to download and download, and I can now put this up on the YouTube channel that I've just created. Just haven't had time to start moving all the episodes over. But technically, we're gonna kind of low key review 2020 for this however long I got Pee Wee, and then we're also gonna talk a little bit about how COVID's been affecting him. Because I think I've done a really good job of saying how it's been affecting me over here. So I just want to make sure that I'm checking in. First of all, I'm checking in with my dogs, especially since y'all live so close to my mom. And yeah, just want to take care of my people. So, hey, Pee Wee, I know you're out in California. How you been, man? How you been doing over there?
It's been wild out here, bro. I mean,
he said it's been wild.
It has been. You got a bunch of crazy people up at the store. Like, I went to Smart and Final out here, grocery store out here yesterday. And I walked in there and they were like, yo, you ain't got no mask. You got to roll out. Like, we serve masks only. Like, they straight up, they were like,
It makes sense. It makes sense why they only serve masks. It's just messed up.
I mean, I get it. But at the same time, like, we have a mask shortage, like, all over the place. And then they out here like, yeah, if you don't got a mask, don't come in. And I'm like, so would a bandana work or like something that needs to cover my face and nose? They're like, no, if you don't have a mask, you cannot be in here. So it has to be a hospital regulated mask. I was like, that's supposed to be at the hospital. That's supposed to be like at the
ones
hospital
that we need to get to the people in the hospital.
Yeah. He was like, if you don't have one of those masks, then you can't come in here. I was like, that's trifling. That's trifling. So I don't know. I'm trying to find out how to get groceries right now.
I know my mom sent me some. So really, they're mainly for, I have aunts and uncles out here who are still nurses, who are technically on the front line. So I gave them all up, except I kept one. But yeah. I know people, I feel like some people are going to feel some type of way when I wear it to go out for groceries, because it's, I think it's that grade A, the N95 one, which people use. And I'm like, technically, I took one for myself because I didn't have one. Right. And then all the rest went to my family. And then just turned out that we had a couple masks here. So I think like N95, I'll use that on, like, if I just can't find a mask for some reason, that's when I'll finally use that one.
Right.
I'll just use the other one.
I get you. I get you. But no, I mean, like, outside of that, like with everybody else, is more trying to get to the grocery store and just seeing how different it is with, like, there's nobody really on the roads, and there's like beaches are closed, or like, let me take that back. Like, the beaches are open because it's federal, but like the parking lots to the beaches are closed, and like hiking trails are all closed. So you got like this beautiful weather out here and you can't really do nothing with it. So it's been interesting for sure. So, and then, like, I'm one of the few people that are, like, fortunate enough to have, like, a job and still be able to, like, go into work, even though my hours, like, did get, like, reduced. But it's like, okay, so you know the, like, the opening scene for, what the hell is that show called? The Walking Dead, season one, right? All of a sudden, you got, like, the main dude just, like, riding on the fucking freeway, and it's, like, completely empty. That's pretty much how it is, like, driving out here. It's, like, there's nobody. It's, like, post-apocalyptic.
Yeah, from the pictures my mom has been sending, it's crazy. I'm like, this might be the one time I actually want to drive down 405 to get home. Most of the time, I just take the one and just go that way. I know it technically takes longer, but it just feels better to be on the one.
Yeah.
So, and if also, if I came for my birthday, I would have been stuck at home. You know, be able to go back to Kansas. So it's kind of crazy. I just decided against it at the last moment, or else I'd be at home, and I'll be sitting there like, man, I really need to see my dogs, but
yeah,
I can't see my dogs.
I guess, like, I don't know, like, I guess the airports are still technically open, so because my mom my mom had to get on a plane to do some travel assignments up in San Jose for the hospitals, mm-hmm. so they gave her a flight up there and gave her a flight back, so.
I wonder if you can only fly for legitimate reasons, like what your mom's doing. Like, I can't just be like, oh, I want to come home and see my mom. I don't think they'll let me fly for that.
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe, maybe not. It depends on the state. Like, I know that they're still allowing, like, just random flights and stuff. Like, here in California, I don't really know who wants to do all that. But I know they're still allowing it. But it might be different over where you're at.
Yeah, because they just extended the stay-at-home order in Kansas to, like, the 3rd. They finally, like, technically, I was even supposed to go back to, like, school. They finally closed school down, I think, 2 weeks ago, like, for the year. It's like Missouri was holding out hope, like, we'll be able to go back to school. And Kansas was like, nah, we just not. And then my thing was just, like, just rip the Band-Aid off early, let the parents complain, as bad as it sounds. But they eventually don't understand that we're doing this for their own good, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, but like for the people that, for all the parents that have kids and stuff, like, I mean, I can just imagine like how difficult that part is because they're stuck at home, they're having to do their own job working from home, and now they have to like assist their kids and like help teach them everything that they normally would be learning in school. And if you guys only have like so much time with the teachers in the online like section, and then it's all parents, so like I can just imagine what they're going through.
So we had what was it? We have a coworker of mine. Her daycare is still open, so she still sends her kid to daycare and works from home. Which I sat there, I was like, "Yo, that's clutch, man! That the daycare's still open like that."
That's clutch, but I mean, at the same time, like, how many people are allowed in that daycare?
I don't know too much about the daycare. I just sat there, I was like, I mean, if she's comfortable with it, you know, she's comfortable with it, And she trusts, because I don't think she wouldn't do that unless she knew she was safe, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I just sat there, I was like, all right, you know. And I sat there, man, that's clutch though. You're still able to do that. So, and she can also get all of her work done and then still be a great mom when the kid comes back. So
yeah, that's true.
It's kind of the best of both worlds for her. Yeah. And then I was actually going to ask you a little bit more. So. I don't know how much you want me to get into this, but you had multiple jobs, or you have multiple jobs right now, and I know one sure is completely affected by this whole thing. So I guess you can just kind of talk to us about, like, once you know, kind of saw things kind of going down, how kind of things happened at your job and to kind of leading you to where you are now.
Okay. So the... Like you said, I got two jobs, one at the casino and one at the gas manufacturing location. So the casino closed on March 14th. So before there was a mandatory stay-at-home order, any of that stuff, they shut down because they, even though there weren't any, no one was infected at the casino, they shut it down. Because all the ones in Los Angeles closed because there was a couple people that got infected over there, and they didn't want a mad dash of people coming to my casino because they would do that. So they just shut it down because the other ones were closing.
Hey, you can't take that chance either. It's also, I think, in a way for some companies, like, liability, as bad as that sounds.
Yeah, it's facts. It's facts. Because like we have, like, when we have people come in, like, they'd be telling us how they go to all the different casinos. Like, they come in and we're like, oh, like, did you just get out of dinner? They're like, no, I was at this casino and that casino and I lost, so I drove up here, thought it'd be better luck. I was like, that's a 3-hour drive. They're like, yeah, but I gotta make my money. So
to be fair, some of the stories you've told us are crazy about how much money some dudes are just walking in there and losing, and I would like pass out if I lost that kind of money.
Right. I don't know, like, I always tell them, like, if you're willing to just, like, throw money away, like, I always have an open door policy. Like, you can always drop
bro, you help a brother out with his bills, bro, and you'll feel better. Trust me, feel better.
That's it. Pay it forward.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so that one closed on March 14th. But they were really cool about it. Like, they put up, like, they made a COVID-19 website. They've been, like, on the phone with us every week. And they're like, hey, like, I want you guys to all check in. We want to give you updates of what's going on with work. Like, none of you guys are getting fired. Like, we're currently going to furlough you. But we set up this whole, they put up a PowerPoint together with a complete breakdown of, like, how to fill out your unemployment. Mm-hmm. And then they reached out to, like, the unemployment offices before, like, the mandatory shutdown and everything. So before it was as bad as it is, they reached out to unemployment and said, yo, like, these people are coming, like, push their stuff on through and give them any type of assistance that you're going to need. They also did this disaster relief thing. So that way, like, the company was able to give us a little bit of funds as well while we were waiting for the unemployment to, like, go into effect. Mm-hmm. So that was a nice little, like, bump and segue into that one, into that as well. But aside from that, it's been a little frustrating with that whole part, because since I have multiple jobs, I'm not getting those unemployment benefits because I'm still working at the other job. So, but now that my hours have been reduced over there as well because of lack of business with all the other places being closed, it looks like the unemployment will come into effect probably around the middle of next month.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen an even bigger rise in people just signing up for unemployment. And I think for me, I've said in the last few episodes, and I don't think we were adequately prepared for something like this, like, at all. Any kind of a stoppage of this point, whether it's, dear God, we get attacked or obviously a disease or something at all like that. It seemed like, I sat there, was like, I feel like our government should be more prepared for something like this. Like, well, our government, yeah. Hold on. Let me for a second.
Yeah.
Like, our government has, like, plans just in case of a zombie invasion. You can just literally go Google it. They have plans for that. Zombie invasion. But, like, something that's more plausible, like, oh, an outbreak of a disease. Like, we're not planned for, like, we weren't ready for it, even though we could have taken preventative steps, which we missed. Then we have our commander in chief, no matter how you feel about him. Eh, just, you know, drink a little bleach. You'll be fine. That's how it clears it up. And now people are doing it because he has that kind of power. And now his whole administration is like, nah, man. Hey, nah.
Nah, dude, I can't believe he said that dumb shit. No, like, for real, like, you out here saying, oh, yeah, like, we're trying some new things. So, like, if you inject yourself with bleach or consume products such as that, then you'll be able to kill the virus. Like, the fuck are you talking about, bro? Injecting yourself with bleach, yeah. Are you serious?
That doesn't even sound healthy anyway. But also, the virus is supposed to come back, I think, from what I've read and heard, is, like, it could come back even worse in the fall and winter. So we're getting flu and the coronavirus at the same time. Also, yeah. Corona's been mad cheap over here, and I've definitely taken advantage. So, first of all, those people who are, like, literally cannot just functionally think, hey, if I drink Corona, that doesn't mean I'll get coronavirus. First of all, Corona should have fought hard as hell to get that name changed. Hey, y'all can't be calling it that. That's adversely affected my business. And then there are people like... They're literal people. They're putting out studies like, oh, I don't want to drink Corona because I don't want to catch the coronavirus.
Modelo's only.
Hey, man. I've never seen Coronas this cheap over here. I'm hopping all over it.
I'm splurging out for that.
That 24-pack of bottles. I'm splurging for that, too. Oh, we chilling out here. Give me that. Besides the fact that gas is now... We might see... God, I got to go outside and see what gas is. But gas is now to the point where if you're buying crude oil, like, they have to pay you money for you to buy barrels. The way
I saw that.
Yeah. Just kind of in a layman's way. That doesn't mean you can actually walk over there and say, hey, I want a barrel of crude oil. They're not going to give it to you. Like, nah. You're not a functioning oil trader or whatever. Just letting people know that. But
there's also no place to store it, too. That's the other reason that they have to, like, pay people to take it, because I guess they were saying, I was on NPR the other day, and they were saying, yeah, like, they have these giant, like, tankers and stuff that they can, like, put the crude oil on, but those things used to cost, like, $25,000 a day, and now they said, yeah, they cost, like, $80,000 a day, So if you want to, like, if you're willing to fork out like $80,000 a day, then you can have as much oil storage as you want.
I call Kanye. He'll do it.
Facts.
All right. So I've also wanted to ask you guys, how have you thought we've, as a country, I'm going to ask Cap and Muneka later. How have you guys thought we've handled this so far? Because I don't think we've handled it well at all.
It's been horrible. Absolutely horrible. Absolutely horrible.
I think one thing I really liked about this, though, is that I've seen all the different facets, like state endowment funds or pension funds or whatever they want to call it. What basically, like, each state has a fund for like unemployment and stuff. But the problem is, a lot of states, I think New York is already at halfway. They've already used half of their funds already. Mm-hmm. So, and then watch it. Also, I think this whole coronavirus thing has turned their governor into a presidential candidate. Like, next time, my man is running because me and my mom actually got an argument about it later, but we'll talk about that later. But let's go. Mm-hmm. What were you saying about how we've handled it?
I don't know. Like, I've been impressed with, like, what he's saying. So I've liked what the governor of New York has been saying. But, I mean, actions speak louder than words. So, like, if he does run and win, like, we'll see what he does, like, at that time. Mm-hmm. But with everything right now, I think we've done a terrible, terrible job. I think the first, like, from the very beginning, I think the first mistake that we made was putting all of the power and all the responsibility, like, on the states to, like, support everyone that is out of work. I feel like that should have been, even though the states have a responsibility to each person in that state, I think it should have been a federal decision to just jump in and tell everybody, hey, businesses, states, whoever, for everybody that cannot work, that is unable to do their job, has to stay at home, have them stay at home, pay them their standard wages, whatever they're currently making, let them just pay them for full hours of work. For everyone that is able to work from home, like, have them continue working from home. Everyone that has to come in work on the front lines, they have to come in and work on the front lines. But for the people, but to correctly fight this virus, this pandemic, everyone that's non-essential, that we want to stay at home, have them stay at home, pay them their regular wages, and that would alleviate all of the issues in terms of the unemployment. It would alleviate the issues with, like, people being afraid of losing their homes and losing their places that they're renting, having money for food and groceries. It would alleviate all those issues and problems. And then the government just says, hey, businesses, just keep this running, do your stuff, pay your people, and we'll reimburse you, or we'll back you like 100% for whatever that you spend for non-essential employees. And we'll use like the state unemployment money mixed with our money in order to pay those things off. And it would just alleviate all of those fears and tensions that are currently running rampant all over the place. Cause like they did the CARES Act with all these small businesses, which a bunch of them didn't even make their money. And they spent, give a lot of money to the, yeah, they gave a lot of money.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You had a lot of big businesses, which technically qualify small businesses. Like, was it Shake Shack? Qualified, but they gave their money back. But I think another company actually, they manipulated the system so they could get two loans.
Yeah,
because it's like the company, and then it was a subsidiary of the main company. So both the main company and the sub company was able to get money. And then you hear little ones.
Like, come on.
Yeah, I think you heard a little story. I heard it on Philip DeFranco, where this one lady, I believe she's in Washington D.C. She just has like I think three people who work for her. And she's like, all I need is like $20,000 to make sure that they are still paid, you know? And it's like, I don't want to let go. And then she got denied. Meanwhile, like, let's keep using Shake Shack, even though they've given their money back. Shake Shack got like $10 million. So,
I don't know. Like,
I don't know if paying everybody their normal wage while they're at home would fly. Especially since I think companies would be like, why am I going to pay this person full wage if she's technically not doing anything for me because you're not essential? Like, you and I are able to work from, you're able to go in, I'm able to technically do all my duties at home, which after this whole thing's over, I'm kind of sitting there like, hey, can we talk about this stay at home thing, like work from home thing? So I think,
well, yeah, like,
pretty good.
But I mean, like, but the reason that I'm saying like you still pay them regardless is because they're still gonna have bills. Like, they're you're 9 times out of 10, like, or I can't say that, but I would believe that most of your non-essential employees, some of them have like homes and property and stuff, but I'd say a lot of them are like renting or like living with other people or whatever. So you still want, like, they still have to like make money and pay those bills and pay those things. So I say to alleviate that tension and that public fear to come back outside and to like potentially spread that virus that then like elongate the pandemic, you pay them their normal wages to stay at home and to just ride the wave until it's all the way out. And that's when the government steps in and says, hey, like, we'll back you guys 100%. We're going to, like, businesses, we're going to pay you to pay your people to stay home if they're non-essential.
I really like that idea. I really like that idea. It's just that I think people, some people would lose, like, especially I think essential workers are like, hold up, how come they're getting paid regular wages and they're not doing anything? Well, we're literally out here on the front lines, like, literally could catch the disease because either us or somebody doesn't follow the thing. Because I think I've seen this with the rush, you know, especially with all the protests that are happening right now about people wanting to go back to work or they're not taking the disease seriously. I always saw this, like, Edgy Bra on one of Joe Rogan's friends. The first time, right when the lockdown, like, they did a Fight Companion right before the lockdown happened, where they were like, oh, he was really really disparaging the numbers. Like, oh, like, it's only killing people like 50 and above, and it's a very low number at the time. And I'm like, bro, it's not the fact that it's not killing people. The low number is, the number could completely explode if we just try to go back to normal the way it was. And also, it's the fact that you, let's just use you and me as an example. Like, you and I could be carriers, then, dear God, you give that to your grandfather or your dad or your parents. Like, would literally, I don't know how I would feel if I gave this to my mom. Mind you, I know my mom, she works out all the time, she's whatever, but she's technically part of that age group that is under risk. Mm-hmm. So I would be inconsolable if I give that to my mom, whether she dies or not, because of disease. I'll be inconsolable. So that's why they're telling people, like, from the beginning, we've seen even the American public not take it seriously. Like, what was it, that one kid who's like, well, I've been planning this trip to Miami for like six months.
I know, the Florida people. And I'm like,
And I'm like, hey, bro, Miami ain't going anywhere. Legitimately, the airlines would be like, hey, okay, you're going to change your ticket because of COVID? We get it. Just use us again when you go to Miami in the summer, in the fall, because Miami going to still be hot.
Well, no, you heard the governor of Florida, right? You heard what he just said?
I heard the lieutenant governor. No, what did he just say?
Yeah, like, he was just saying, he's like, yeah, like, the coronavirus is, like, only, is primarily affecting people and, like that are indoors and close bunches and stuff. And I think it's okay for us to reopen because most people want to go to the beach and use, like, resort hotels and stuff because it's travel season. And we'd be able to, like, separate those individuals appropriately. So I believe that I'm pretty sure we're going to reopen soon. And I was like,
and then they just open the beach.
Yeah.
Jack. And then they had the highest number, a reason to come back. That's all you're doing. Mind you, I don't know if we can completely eradicate it, but we should have it to a point where we're like, okay, everybody make sure you either take your vaccine or you take your pills or whatever you got to do to fight it, instead of like, okay, this is continually a problem. It's like when when you're football, remember when you got injured and then, like, hey, if you stay off of it for like a week, you'd be fine. But no, you came back on Friday and now you're out for another 2 weeks. This is basically that kind of injury. Like, you get that pressure to be like, oh, like, just use the team aspect. You got that pressure where the coach is like, man, I'd really appreciate it if you played on Friday. And you sit there like, yeah, I could play on Friday. Sure, we could win, but then you don't have me for the next 2 weeks. Instead of me missing this week, and then you have me for the next 2 weeks, like, fully, and I'm healthy. So I think most of these states are sitting there like, oh, my God, we're not making any money. We're not making any money. So they're freaking out. And I get it that it's also very easy for me to say this having a job. It's also, I have a job. I'm still working. All right. But it's just like, guys, for the greater good,
we cannot reopen everything right now. We cannot. Exactly. Like, even what was it? The Las Vegas mayor was like, you can use Las Vegas as a control group. And I was like, nah, boo-boo. Las Vegas people go everywhere. like nah, bro. Facts. I'm not going to catch Corona because, oh, John over there went to the Bellagio, freaking struck out bad, but he lives in Kansas City, and I just happened to drive by him that day while he has Corona. Nah.
That's it.
Nah, bro.
That's it.
And also, I want to talk to some Trump supporters about this. Like, just, you know, like, hey, I'm not out here disparaging your president right now, except for his comments and how he's handled the situation. He's the head man in charge. Because, dear Lord, if Obama handled it this way, we'd have a problem. We would have a legitimate problem. And people are sitting there rolling their – people are going to listen to this and they're going to roll their eyes. The people who are going to listen to this and be like, preach, they know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, we would have a legitimate problem if Obama handled it this way. To the point, like, my mom told me this. Like, she went out. Remember when she went on vacation? And, yeah, like, she just met some people while she was on vacation out of the country. And they're literally laughing at the country and at Trump. Like, we love him. He makes us laugh so much. Like he's a comedian, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, bro, that's the president. Like, he should have it feels like he should have, like, respect, but more countries around the world don't respect us. And then, of course, with everything that he's doing right now is making those people still laugh. Like, oh my God, he's not taking this seriously. Like, well, sure. Remember when, yeah. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, it's just that he just says dumb shit. Just like, yeah, inject yourself with bleach, or I'm gonna call it the China virus because it came from China. And it's just like, come on, bro. Like, this is a world pandemic, and, like, help everybody out.
Yeah, also, you are the president, bro, and obviously you have a fan base that will ride with you no matter what. Your words carry a lot of weight, to the point where the whole bunch of racial incidents with people from China who had nothing, obviously they have nothing to do with the virus at all. And also, we didn't, as weird as this sounds, China did, for what we're kind of looking at, what they're telling them, China did a good job. That shit hit Wuhan. They were like, nah, bro, we building hospitals out here, okay? We building hospitals. We taking care of these people. Mind you, the numbers could be way either the numbers are probably completely manipulated with, but it's just their point that now in Wuhan, hey, bro, you walking around now. You're not confined to your home. You're able to go do things now. So
it's true, but I think they
mind you, I'm sitting here saying, yo, those numbers that they was putting out, hell no. The real numbers out. But I'm just saying, like, to the point, the way it looks is that hey, we have approached the virus with the severity that needs to be approached with. That's basically what I'm trying to say. I think from the straight up beginning, we have never approached the virus, especially with our president, the way we should be. If a president say, hey, this virus ain't no big deal. Even me, who is not a Republican or whatever, I'm like, hey, man, if he's saying, I mean, the people, he got top flight people telling him this. So I'm going to go do what I'm still going to need to do today. And then all of a sudden, you got his doctor, like the doctor in charge of the whole, whatever, Dr. Fauci, who now people are saying he should be fired. Like, he's out here telling people, bro, we have a problem. We have a legitimate problem. And this thing is not going away in 6 months. It's an 18-year, it's 18-month thing. It's going to come back next year. It could come back in the winter and smack us right in the face. All, just imagine Black Friday. And Fauci's like, do not go into Best Buy and buy those beats that you wanted. Order them online. Nah, you're not going to listen. Then they're going to go to Black Friday. All the people clenched up together, and the coronavirus just spreading again. And I'm sitting there like, yo, we should not, first of all, society should not be the same after COVID than it was before. Things should be completely changing. How we interact should be different. I think how businesses function should be different. That's why I always say, like, I'm really curious to see what happens after. Like, which company is going to rise to the top? How are we, like, the way we watch movies are looks like they could completely change. From now on, movie theaters could be completely fucked. Like, movie theaters could be completely fucked after this.
They could be. It could. Yeah. They really could.
Yeah. Like, all the businesses that could go out, and then, oh, so with all those businesses leaving, that leaves an area of opportunity for somebody else to come in and fill that void.
Like, it's true, but at the same time, like, COVID-19 was useful in some ways as well, like, as much as I hate to admit it. And what I mean by that is, like, a lot of people here in the States are not happy with going driving into the office or whatever, because some people have like 20, 30, 40, 50 minute drives to get to and from the office every day. And a lot of people have been saying like they're already trying like in different parts of the world, like, okay, like we're going to do like a 4-day work week and like 1-day work from home, or like 3-day work week, 2 days work from home. And they've been trying those things out, and they're seeing people like with more energy and more motivation because they're able to like set those days accordingly or whatever. So I feel like with the COVID-19, it forced companies in America to like do a trial by fire run with work from home. And you have people that don't like it because they're people, they like to be around people all the time, and they weren't expecting like this extended stay in, like stay inside order. But you can see the practicality of it, of, oh, okay, like let's, like with the environment, like LA, like the LA smog, it's gone down 30% in the past like 2 months. So
I cannot wait once LA opens up again, and then people just kind of see it back and everybody getting pissed, like, bro, we could have done something here. We could have done
exactly. And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you just have them, like, I'm not saying keep them at home every day, like right now, but if you just cut it back to, okay, you're going to come in 3 days out of the week, you're going to stay home 2 days out of the week for a lot of these like businesses, then you're chilling. And all you have, you like, it already laid the groundwork for like that next big app, next big company to find a way to do secure online like video calls and everything else, because you saw like, because Zoom jumped up really like, super Zoom fast and all.
Zoom is everywhere now.
And you saw like, but then you saw like the Zoom bombings and stuff. So you saw like the lack of security. So all you need is that one group or company to like, they, all right, no, like I'll go in and I'll like do security for you guys, like cyber security for you guys' app or whatever. And I'll boost that thing up, and boom, you have a new set of like a new group of workers. You have a new way of like online platforms. And I don't know. I feel like they could really like evolutionize like the way that we work and the way that we do things to make it not only better for like the individual, so they're not stuck in that work environment all the time in that space, but also better for like the environment and everything else. So I don't know.
I definitely vibe with what you're saying here, trying to see how it always seems like in terms of new innovations, like, oh, when you're seeing, oh, this is what the Swiss are doing, or this is what France is doing, this is what it always seems like we're really last to like changing how like American culture works, like in terms of, oh, we've always done it this way, we've done it this way like the American work week since the 40s or the 50s with the Greatest Generation or whatever it was. And like, right now things are changing, like to the point where the idea, like, remember, so when we had like 30 Democratic people running for president at that point. So we had all these people come up and introduce new ideas, like the idea of what Andrew Yang really pilots, the universal basic income. And by the way, he was going to run for the mayor of New York after his campaign folded. But it was just the fact that you had this relatively unknown guy who didn't take super PAC money or whatever make such a big impact. Well, technically, this is his first foray into politics, and I think that guy's definitely future president material, by the way.
Yeah, like I liked some of the stuff that he had to say, so I don't think he was ready, so I didn't expect it to be his time.
Yeah, I didn't think he was ready.
Like, on this one.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like the other problem with, like, in terms of, like, presidential campaigns is, like, personally, I just don't think a 70-year-old person should ever be our president, because they're...
Preach.
Like, you should never be too much on one part of the society. It's like, bro, we just need younger people.
That's a whole last generation between me and Trump. My man, you still, like, when you were growing up, like, you couldn't sit with black people on the bench. Like, yeah, I had to be on different parts of the bus. Like, my mom was born in the 60s. You know?
Facts.
Born in the 60s. This dude's like, yo, check it. I got 20 more years on this. I got a whole last person who can drink between my mom and you. That's a whole different generation. And I've always sat there and I'm like, my mom's generation not even in power yet. Like, her parents' generation still holding on to that shit with the problem. Now, and of course, all they do is talk shit on us. Oh, millennials, like, y'all don't know what the hell you're doing. You guys are soft, blah, blah, blah. I'm like,
It's true.
You sure you want to go down this route? Because some of it, you're right. But other words, like, y'all still think we can afford college. We're out here telling you real problems. Yo, student loan debt is ridiculous. College is too expensive. And now people are sitting there like, I don't need to go to college anymore to do what I want to do. Like you always pull up, people always pull up those success stories, like Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, all those people. Like, actually, I don't know if Zuckerberg actually, he probably did finish college, but like Bill Gates is like, I didn't go to college. I just started a multi-billion-dollar company from my garage.
It's facts. Oh, actually, yo, speaking of, like, jumping in real quick. Speaking of Bill Gates, though, like, if you guys haven't had a chance to look at it, you should go and watch like the TED Talk presentation that he did on like pandemics and viruses that he dropped like 3-4 years ago. Mm-hmm. So because he was saying back then that the United States and the world wasn't ready for a global pandemic or virus, and that if anything was going to wipe out millions of people, that it would be a virus or pandemic like this.
Yeah, because even listen to Philip DeFranco, he a member of the UN who kind of manages food supply. He's saying, "Yo, we're in a very critical spot right now with food supplies across the country. Like, we got millions of people starving by the end of the year because the world just doesn't have enough food." And then I think it's just the point, like, you've seen people hoard, what was it, toilet paper. Then mm-hmm. this is like hand sanitizer, all that stuff. Now people could be like hoarding meat and things like that, just so, you know, they make sure their families have enough food. And also, it's not even like having enough food, it's just like you always have that one family. We all know that one family that gets like 50,000, I'm just using a number, 50,000 steaks and put it in the freezer just to have it because they want to flex or they want to do whatever. You always have people who take more than they need. So then you have somebody who does actually need it when they go to the store, like, oh my God, we don't have any meat left. How the hell am I supposed to feed my family? Or they got to figure out a different way to feed their families.
Right. But it's not necessarily the fact that there's not enough food and there's not enough like utilities in that respect. It's more so because, like, again, like, this is based on like some NPR videos and NPR things like that. So I haven't like fully like done the research and everything, but it's more so about like these farmers that are producing the livestock or like making the eggs and everything else. They've already made like contracts to send like whatever they make to, okay, we're supposed to be sending it to restaurants and sending it to fast food chains and sending it to these other locations. So now that those places aren't taking it, mm-hmm. they still can't like redistribute to like the grocery stores and everything else because they're contracted and obligated to like keep these on reserve for those places. So like they had some farmers on there like, yeah, we had to just pour out milk and milk that was going to be used for cheeses and for like the pizzerias and for like the bars, and we had to just pour milk on the ground because of the fast food chains like not taking as much and everything. And it's just,
I wonder if I wonder if our farmers will find a way to do more direct sales besides, obviously they deal with corporations, but you're always going to have extras even in times like not like this. So I wonder how they took care of those. Did they just sit on those for their family, or did they like, oh, I'm gonna send these like a farmer's market or someplace where they can, I know they'll be sold. So I wonder if that's a potential industry that could grow from this.
Potentially, because I mean, we had this same problem happen during the Great Depression, where people were out here like in their homes, like starving to death. But then you had these farmers and these growing industries and stuff that were just having to throw away food because they had no one to sell it to.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's going to be so crazy. And also, like, hey, the people who are risking it all right now. Like, I go out, I'd say this, I go out probably once a week into the actual society to go do whatever I need to do. But that's it, once a week. Man, I know I got some people like, hey, I'm trying to go see this girl. And I'm like, what'd you meet this girl? Oh, I met her on Tinder. And like, Tinder is hot right now, bro. You need to hop on. Just come on. And I'm like, just because I'm single or whatever. I'm like, hey, bro, like, first of all, you're going to risk the plague. And then you don't even know what the hell that girl been doing. Like, this is going to be like, arise, first of all, like, there's already the COVID cases. Then you're going to have, like, the people who have STDs or whatever. Then you're gonna have whatever, like the Corona babies, like, you know, the Corona baby generation.
Right, I'm finna risk it all.
And I'll be like, oh, y'all wilding out here. I mean, I've had a few jump in. I've had a few jump in my inbox. Like, what's up? What's going on?
I'm not totally surprised. I mean, I had a couple people telling me that they're like, yo, like, I know you, like, you're with your lady or whatever, but, like, Tinder's, like, on right now. These are layup drills. Like, I was like,
you said layup drills.
I was like, you keep that to yourself. You keep that all to yourself.
Nah, like, some people, like, I sat there and was like, yo, first of all, I'm definitely not down because you felt this way before. Before the pandemic, I'm not gonna be your like cliche sitcom dude that you run back to after everything's messed up. I'm not for it. I'm gonna take you back after you got AIDS. Nah.
Oh my.
Nah, bro. Like, you had your shot before you're only doing this because of the pandemic. You're not doing this because you actually like something's forcing your hand here, and I'm not. I don't want to be a part of that. So
it's true. Mm-hmm. It's true. I agree with that. But I don't know.
The thirst is real out here, bro. It's real. Just
yeah.
I feel like sometimes I just want to throw some people a water bottle. Like, here, bro. Here. Crap. Look, we got extra water over here.
Thirst trap is real.
Mm-hmm. So, how do you see? Like, what are your kind of plans? How do you see this kind of going into the future? Because, I mean, sports as we know it has been completely changed. I think. You saw UFC bought that. Dana White finally finalized his Fight Island. So you're going to have fights on a private island in the middle of fucking whatever. Probably international waters, so people can't fuck with them. So yeah, the Fight Island. I think basketball could come back with no fans. The one I'm really worried about is football. You know? This could be football. I don't know if this could be football's death nail, but this is basketball's chance to finally become the number one sport in the country.
I think it, like you said, it could be basketball's chance, but with the way that Adam Silver the way he's running it, he's ahead of the curve, but he's very self-conscious on making sure that the NBA comes back at the right time with like minimal risk of recontracting it. So, which is why I thought it was interesting that I think it was yesterday that the Woj came out and said that some of the places that have like loosened restrictions on the stay at home order and the COVID-19 issues could start reopening like practice facilities and stuff for players and employees to start coming back in. Mm-hmm. So it could be basketball's chance, but I don't think that Adam Silver will make those type of decisions based on financial income.
Oh, I mean, I saw Trump created like this kind of sports commission where he looks like he has all the sports either commissioners or heads of each league together, and then he added like WWE onto that commission, Vince McMahon, and then you saw how his business got made an essential business in Florida, right? How dirty it was.
For
those of you that don't know, was so WWE running up to WrestleMania, which is like the beginning of April, like they were still recording live even after the stay-at-home order, and there was actual people like law enforcement trying to get them to shut it down. They have a performance center, which is where they mainly train their people so they can get ready to be like WWE superstars in Florida. I can't remember exactly where it is in Florida. So all of a sudden the XFL shuts down, they lay off everybody, and then he files for bankruptcy. The XFL files for bankruptcy. I think a couple of days later, his wife's, Vince McMahon's wife, Super PAC, which is basically like what organizations that give candidates money, gives the state of Florida like $10 million. And then 2 days later, or the next day, WWE gets named as an essential business in Florida. And I'm like, WWE, I mean, it's athletic contest for sure. I don't know if they're sports because the things are predetermined, right? The fights are predetermined. But it's just how dirty it was. And also, Linda McMahon, at one point, she tried to run for Senate in the 2010s, or at least maybe the 2000s. That's why WWE switched from like whatever it was, TV-14, to Attitude Era, to the way it is now, because she had to clean up her product because she's Linda McMahon. Her husband, literally, at one point, it's weird to think, her husband fought, had a wager against the president of the United States, like our literal president right now. It got his ass whipped by Donald Trump on like in, on WrestleMania. It's, I've been knee deep in WWE stuff ever since this whole thing started. And I'm like, that's our literal president, like beating up Vince McMahon on at WrestleMania in front of hundreds of thousands of people, just beating his ass. And I'm sitting like, that's our president. But just how dirty that was. And then also it hasn't been like a good week for WWE and Vince McMahon because of the XFL, obviously, to they laid off 40% of their workforce last week. And then they went on their investors call and reported record-breaking profits.
Well, yeah, like what else are they going to do? There's nothing on TV. There's nothing to watch. Like all the shows are getting canceled. It's like just the movies are stopping.
Yeah, it's just like even before, I think they've made the most money. I think they made the most money they have in a while this quarter. So it's just, I'm just sitting there like, man, and them firing 40% of their workforce. And of course, it's just like the old football term. Like, hey, we're not saying you got to come in, but you basically got to come in. You know?
Right? Like, I mean, yeah,
you got pressure to do your job and stuff.
It's a dirty business. I don't know what else to say. It's, mm-hmm. I don't know.
All right. So,
it's frustrating.
Yeah. So let me go back to the question I asked before. How do you feel we're going to be kind of going into the future in terms of, let's just say, sports coming back in terms of basketball? Is basketball still taking us to finish their season? Shit, we just had the draft. And we'll talk about that off. I want to see what you thought about your boys picking up Herbert, but we'll talk about that off the thing. How you kind of see the future?
Yeah. Like, short term, I think they're going to have to do, like, minimal fans. I don't think they have to do no fans, but I think they have to do minimal fans. So, like every other seat or every third seat or something is where people can sit because you want to like maximize that 6 feet apart distance.
No way.
So like, I'm not saying I like it, but I think I'm saying for like the short term. So short term, I'm thinking that it would have to be like every other seat or every third seat is where someone's able to sit. So that way you can still have fans there. Cause I know that was an issue for a lot of the players. They're like, I'm not going to play in a stadium, like a fanless stadium, but You have to respect 6 feet.
My thing is just that I don't think the NBA can take that chance because that's an easy way for you to get sued. If somebody like me was chilling, never showed any symptoms or anything like that, and then I go to a Thunder game and I come back, all of a sudden I have the coronavirus. That's an easy way for me to say, hey, I didn't have any problems till I went to your game. LeBron, even if you follow the social distancing rules and all that stuff, I never promised late until I went to your game. Now all of a sudden I'm sick as hell. Y'all allowed somebody who had the virus to come into the stadium. I feel like that's how some people would word that. I think
I think players
need to suck it up, bro. You're gonna have to play with no fans for a while. This is completely unprecedented. So I'm like, you trying to get paid? You trying to make sure you get most of your millions of dollars worth of salary? Yeah, I'm gonna need you to step on that court, player with no fans, and make that shot.
Yeah, like I mean, I see it, like for sure. But at the other thing, like before you can even get those boys back in, those men, those women, those athletes back into the stadium, you have to have like more testing available. You have to have, and like I say that just because like when they did the original tests on what's the freaking center's name from Utah? Yeah, on Gobert, you had. It took like days for them to get through testing of like the rest of the team and the staff. Like you need to know like within hours of testing, like, oh, okay. Like how they have the flu test. Okay. You go into a quick spot, you took it like within the hour, you know, if you have it or if you don't, they need to have something like that for like all the staff, like all the athletes, the medical staff, the coaches, trainers, like all them. You need to have it for like on hand at least for like fan. If you did have fans come in, you need to have at least testing available enough so you can have quick responses for all of them. Like you were for right now, like whether it's immediately or long term, you're gonna have to be doing like some swabs and stuff and have like the temperature checks and everything like on hand. Be like, yo, like, are you exhibiting any symptoms? Are you able to come in? Whatever. Like all those things need to happen before. Or at least be available before they can even think about bringing sports back.
Yeah. And also for people who are going to get mad because the NBA is going to find a way to get tests, even though they're not really available. Also, the NBA is a private institution. If they're able to get tests, that's what they're able to do. It's a private institution of technically what?
30 owners. They can, and they found a way, because people got mad at Joe Rogan because he was getting tests for his guests real quick. Mm-hmm. You know? And then, first of all his tests were like non-FDA approved. So he was kind of taking a back channel way to get tests. But also, right. He can buy those. He has the means to do it the same way the NBA will. I'm like, if I'm the NBA or the NFL, I'm not going to feel bad because I was able to buy tests because I'm a private institution, you know?
Exactly.
It's like, you just have to suck it up. The tests for the public will be available when they're available. First of all, that's how it was always going to go anyway. Select people are going to be tested at first anyway. They're not just going to roll out to the general public without actually seeing if the test works or how to even administer this test to a population, dear God, like LA. Which is it's huge, true. Obviously, compared to like my place where I'm at in Kansas City. They might test it out. They might roll out the testing thing here first to see how it works before we approach a larger population. There's so many different factors and variables that are still kind of unknown for us. So, also, some people just want basketball back on TV because then basketball back comes back. It means you can bet. You have all these different ways you can start making money again.
It's true. So. But like one thing I do like that I saw. By talking to like Papa Ellis, he was telling me that they are actually providing tests for his whole department and then mm-hmm. for like department and spouse. Mm-hmm. So like, you still have to pay for it, like it's like a like kind of like a copay, but mm-hmm. you can get access to that test for yourself and your spouse for. And I think they're trying to make it for all first responders. So fire department, police, nurses, doctors, like all of them would get like immediate, direct, quick access to those tests so they can find out if they do or do not have it. Because they're out on the front lines every day.
All essential personnel should be the first people of the public getting tested. Because they have literally been on the front lines all the time before Johnny, who lives over, let's just say Johnny, who lives in... what call it, Thousand Oaks, in his nice house with his family before you get one. Like, because what's going to happen if something pops off? You're calling the cops. You want to make sure the cops are clean, right?
That's
make sure all the first responders are going to roll up to your house, make sure everything's okay. You want to make sure that they're good, right?
Please. That's right.
Please.
So, but it's not even just them. It's like they're putting it forward for like your grocery store, workers, and then for your delivery drivers and stuff like that, like the people that deliver those goods, like from like the warehouses to the grocery stores or from like the warehouses to the hospitals and stuff. So those people, they're wanting, like they're essential, so they want to get them and their spouses like the tests and stuff as well, mm-hmm. because those are, like you said, those are all the people that are in the front lines that are directly connected to the average Joe Schmo that has to get their stuff. So
yeah so just kind of, I guess, the future. Oh, geez. What the hell are we going to tell our kids about this year? This has been the weirdest year. My God. That's why I wanted to get the whole squad on here to review 2020, but we can kind of review it ourselves. I'll get Cap on another one. We'll talk about it also. But, like, we're about to finish our fourth month. Technically, we're a quarter and, like, we're a little bit over a quarter of the way into 2020. You could write mm-hmm. books on what's happened this year. That's books, fact. Son. Like just kind of... Oh, my God. Idea. Like, I've been making fun of all the Chiefs fans I could find. It's funny how y'all win the Super Bowl and then, like, pandemic. Kobe dies. Like, y'all took my dog Kobe away. I'm blaming you. Yes, you. you in the red hat and shirt. Like, Kobe died. Australia was on fire in January. Like, literally on fire. God, what else? Smollett got federal charges again. They Chicago, yeah. Like we taking you all the way, bro. We taking you all the way for what you did to us.
That's facts. So Smollett got charges again. Australia caught fire. The virus started. Mm-hmm. Colleges shut down. Kobe died. Like actually, like the like everyone transitioned to like stay at home and working online. Them famous people say, oh yeah, like I'm quarantining, like working from home or whatever on mega yachts and like multi-million-dollar mansions, saying that they're prison.
What was it? Ellen said that. She's like working from home.
Ellen said that. Like I was like, prison. Damn.
And I said, Ellen, if you're trying to be funny, I don't think that joke landed. Get ready for that heat, bro.
That's facts, yo. That's facts.
What was it? And then you had, oh my God, what am I trying to think? I'm trying to say right now. Oh, Gal Gadot, and she had like a bunch of celebrities like sing people a song. Oh, if you don't shut the fuck up, if you don't shut the fuck up. Also, I apologize for both of ours cussing. I know we're already like basically almost an hour in. But if you don't shut the fuck up, like, first of all, you're living in a situation that none of us, like, technically most people cannot live in. You're chilling by yourself, nice house, whatever, and you have the you should definitely have the financial, like, planning or reserve to take care of yourself for a few months. Some people live in paycheck to paycheck and they just lost their job applying for unemployment, things like that.
But the other thing that we could throw in there for 2020 is the fact that the environment hasn't been cleaner.
Oh my God, this is like, that's probably one of the things gonna be real mad when people start going out. I'm like, God damn it, man. We was chilling. Like, when I went out on Friday, I remember just smelling the air. I'm like, oh, it just hits a little different, you know?
Right. It smells kind of good.
Yeah, it smells real good out here, you know? And then now it's just coming, they're gonna go back. And then I think for the first time, once everybody kind of goes back, everybody's gonna start smelling, be like, oh, man.
Yeah, but it's not even just that. Like, all of a sudden you got like wildlife like coming back into the cities and stuff, because most people are like staying inside and staying indoors. Like, gas, that's another thing for like the world economy. Like, even though like you had the OPEC war between Russia and like Saudi Arabia and everyone else over oil, and then you had oil completely plummet and become like non-essential for the most part, where you have to like pay people to take your crude oil because no one's using it right now. I mean,
you think this will like either hasten the kind of the ability to get an electric car further on the market?
Because I think it's electric car gives them a real shot.
Especially with Tesla, Elon Musk releasing all the Tesla designs for free on the internet. So I'm like, first of all, Tesla forced like all the traditional car companies to make Tesla, that Model 3 looks really good. So now you all of a sudden, you can't be making like Priuses, which just look like ass, you know? You gotta make a car that looks good.
I totally agree. Yeah. I mean, like, it's, I don't know, dude. Like, it gives a real shot to the people that are trying to go green and trying to do like a green energy, like solar power, water power, electrical power. Like, it gives them a real opportunity to take a real leap forward in the industry and try and phase out oil.
I think this is also a chance. One of my favorite podcast hosts said it. If this is now a chance for that one thing you've always wanted to do, like, now is your chance to do it. If you can't do it now, man, you never wanted to do it in the first place. Like, I ended up talking to this girl Friday that Scotty had on his podcast. She works for a small business. Like, they help small businesses with. Hey, that dude got Corona, bro.
Oh shit!
That's that deep cough. Ooh. All right, so
don't be done, though. Like,
Jinx
is out here, dog.
That's that deep cough, bro. I'm just letting you know. So this girl I was talking to, she helps small businesses with like receptionists and things like that. And like, I sat there and said, "Oh, you guys must be having like a real kind of downturn, like, because you know all these businesses are shutting down." They're like, "No, we've never been busier." Like, people setting up their new businesses and things like that. I'm like, wow. And you kind of see a lot of those people like, oh, now's finally my chance. I've always wanted to start that small business to do whatever it is. Now I feel like a lot of people are taking their chances to do it. Whether it works or not, now's the best time, actually, because there's not that much financial risk right now in terms of, like, if you're trying to, like, in terms of, like, customers or things like that. So it actually gives, I think, maybe a lot of new companies, like, you got to gradually work your way up. And I think a lot of people are willing to kind of take that, whatever that stance is, to do it.
Right. I mean, I never thought of it that way, but I could see it when you put it that way. Like, if you have the capital available to you to, like, shoot your shot on it now, you're not going to get a better opportunity to do so, especially with the market being low and your access to all of these different types of loans. Like, I mean, a lot of people are telling me right now, which I didn't think of either, it's a great, great time to like buy a car or invest in stocks or anything like that, because your loans aren't going to be better and it's not going to be cheaper than it is right now.
I mean, in terms of me, like, I was out here, I'm stealing debts like crazy, as dumb as it sounds. Like, I'm sitting there, like, going through my finances. Did I actually even really need to use this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, so, like, cutting that out. I bought, like, Hulu 2 screens because my mom uses my Netflix, but I use her Amazon Prime. So, mm-hmm. It's just kind of, like, a lot of diversifying, like, things like that. Like, I was paying for a domain name that I technically never used. But for something that me and you have talked about that I've been working on for a while, and it's done. It's done, by the way. So now I deleted that domain name, and I'm actually going to get a new one with the thing that I've been working on. And obviously, you guys will all get to see once I post it up on Facebook for things like that. But being able to kind of do all that has been really just all that, because like, finally I have time to do the things I've always wanted to do. Besides working and all that stuff. So just being able to do that. And like I would say, if you were not able to do it now, it must either be something that you really do need people, like people conversing and breaking like a distance, whatever, social distancing rules to be, or you just never, you know, you were just all bluster from the start.
It's true. So I don't know. I mean, it's like the world is just like, if you told someone 6 months ago that this is what the world is going to look like today, nobody would have believed you.
I would not at all. And I don't even go out as much as a lot of people. Like, I always tell my mom, like, or my mom or some of my family members over here, I'm like, you guys go out more than me. You know, I'm not out in these streets. Also, speaking of shooting your shot, I'm going to go back there because it just popped in my mind. Fellas, work on your game right now. You can't go see her. I know how bad you want to see her. You shouldn't go see her. You shouldn't.
Unless you're my friend that's out here making layup drills on Tinder. So
you shouldn't go see her. But boy, now was a good time to work on your game, because that first weekend back when people are allowed to go to the bars and do it with the thirst that night, it's going to be dangerous in these streets. I'm staying home that night. I might even stay at home the second night, because that might be even worse, because people will be like, that's the energy we was feeling. Nah, we're going to amp it up. And then that third weekend, that's when I might step out. And I say step out, I'm just going to go to the bar, have a couple drinks, come back home, because I don't trust y'all. But, like, that's just it. Like, that, oh, my God. Fellas, you cannot be the same person you walked into quarantine or, like, the lockdown life is that you left when you're leaving. You cannot be that same person. Something has to be different about you. It doesn't have to be anything big. Like, you don't have to dress flashier, but, like, man, with all the DM sliding that's going to be coming at girls these days, man, you got to find a way to set yourself apart, because the DM
sliding. Just make it easy. Just up your game. Like, download Duolingo. Like, learn yourself a language while you stuck at home doing nothing.
Free game, and Cameron. Just,
yeah, give, right? Give like, all that free like, game. Talk to him.
Give all that free like, game.
Download yourself from Duolingo. Like, learn yourself a new language. So, like, one of those love languages, Italian, French, Spanish, something. You come back in, you just whisper to them like real quick, and that new language you just learned, they looking at you like you something foreign. You're like, ooh, okay.
Especially, get you a language that makes you roll your R's, bro. It just works.
French, Italian, Spanish, like learn yourself something.
It's like, whoa. There'll be a lot of people flexing the club too. And I'm gonna be like, but then it's gonna be so much tension, bro. Imagine being the one dude who doesn't take anybody home that first couple of weekends.
Oof.
And you know people are going to be thirsty out here in these streets.
Better luck next time. Sure, work on your free throws.
All right, man, we've gone over an hour. It's actually good. Thank you for being my guinea pig also to see how to get this done. So just letting you guys know, I guess this is what we're doing. I guess now that I've introduced it, it's what we're going to be kind of doing from now on. Unless there's extraordinary circumstances that I can't do it. But shout out to Pee-wee for hopping on the podcast. We have so much more to talk about off, like talking about his squad picking up Herbert. I don't know how you feel about that.
My squad trading out of the first round, even though we just lost TB12 and Gronk.
Bro, dude, I don't know what y'all doing.
We straight. We not tanking, but we kind of tanking. Like, we don't go
bit,
like
a little bit.
A 7-9 or something like that. Meanwhile, I'm watching Tampa like, hey. I'm still a Tom Brady supporter, so I'm going to be watching Tampa games. But I'm going to be like, damn.
I'm intrigued by Tampa, but they're not. They're still not like a favorite for me to like make it.
It's too early yet. My thing is, it's too early to declare them a Super Bowl contender, but they have enough talent to definitely make the playoffs.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. Like, I feel like they had a chance last season to make playoffs if they didn't throw so many damn interceptions.
Especially, yeah, you saw they added a new team in the playoffs, right? Which I don't like. They leave the playoffs the way they are. They are perfect the way they are. And now that they've changed it, I don't like it. I don't like it at all. They were perfect. They added at the right time and things like that. And in the fact that your second seed, you're kind of screwed now. Screw your bye, bro.
That sucks.
That may be the only thing I like about it is that second seed doesn't get a bye. But also, I'm like, come on, bro. I think that might leave the first seed at a severe disadvantage. If you're the second seed, let's just say let's just use the Chiefs. You barely lose out to the Ravens for the top spot in the league, in the top spot, this top seed. You're half a game in. You blow out like the Texans, your first wild card weekend. And now you're walking into Baltimore like, what's up? We hot right now. We pissed off also.
That's so, facts. I don't know. It could be. I'm not a fan of the extra team that they added and like the lack of a bye week. I don't know.
I feel bad for the XFL too because I really like what the XFL was doing.
A lot of people. Everyone I talked to said they enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm. From watching it, I really like the kickoff rule. Kickoff rule, it's so good that I was shocked the NFL wasn't like, hey, how do we do this real quick? Because I sat there, the team that can first take advantage of this rule in the XFL is going to be a stud team on special teams.
I agree with that. Also,
yeah, I really like the fact that like all the offices are on tempo. And it's like, the last game I kind of watched was the one where the dude was going to win MVP in the league. What's his name? Something Walker. He played for Houston. Freaking stud. They were in like double overtime or something like that. And just being able to watch something like that. And also the fact that a 9-point lead is still a one score game, bro.
Yeah.
It's a one score game. And I'm sitting there like in my NFL way of thinking, I'm like, damn, they're down 9. And my roommate's like, nah. They down 9. And I'm like, what you mean? I'm like, oh, they only down 9. And I'm like, 3-point play. And low key, 3-point play from the 10's not that bad. You got more space to maneuver and stuff.
Right? That's the thing. Like, it's like,
damn.
Like, if you're a good red zone team, like, you can make it work. Like, especially you can just do nothing but threes.
Especially if you got a mobile quarterback, too. That could be a problem for somebody.
Right? Like Chan said, I made the three more popular than Steph. Like, you can make it happen.
So I also like the fact they walk down to the field and talk to the people like directly after some shit just happened. Like the first one was like the first game they got in a fight, and then this lady walks up live and she's like, "Hey, can you tell us what happened?" And the dude's like, "This motherfucker just started trying to fuck with us," and I'm like, "Oh shit, this is live."
Yeah, I couldn't believe they did that right after that happened. I was like,
Y'all reap what you sow. This is football, baby. Like, you thought he was going to be, he was just like, oh, snap, I'm going to keep it PG. Nah, son, he right in the middle. He's just out here defending somebody.
Right. So, he just threw it up.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you want to say to the people?
I don't got nothing to say to the people. I got something to say to you, though. Like, now that you're at home, you're saying you go out once a week, you're still working from home and everything. Mm-hmm. What you doing with yourself at home? How are you reinventing yourself?
I think to kind of answer your question, maybe I don't know if reinvention is the right word, but I think it's finalization for me. Like, I finalized that project I've been working on for damn near a year. Finalized, I guess you can say, apparel for the podcast that I've just been sitting on for a while. Just kind of like some concept and things like that you're going to see when I drop the other project. Like you say, video. I'm finally being able to do a podcast. video podcast or whatever you want to call it. I'm finally able to do that. And I've been through a lot of platforms. I'm rereading that book that Corey got me on podcast that he got me for Christmas. I really enjoyed it. It's just, I feel like I needed to read it again because I don't think I fully understood it the first time. And also, like, I miss my gym. Like, I box at a gym, right? Just that's my way of staying in shape. But they've done a really good job of sharing workouts and things like that of things to do, because it's not like I can just walk into the gym and box anymore and things like that. So I think it's just a lot more like finalization for me. I had all these things that I said I was going to do. I've said it on the podcast, things like that. But I'm just like, man, I actually need to actually do it. You know, I don't have an excuse anymore. So it's more of like a gut check. Like, hey, it's time to finalize all the stuff that you've done, that you said you're going to do. So, yeah.
No, that's definitely good, though, because, I mean, like you said, like, if you have something that you want to do, you have no reason not to get it done right now. Like, you're at home. You're stuck inside. You can't really go anywhere. So, like you said before, if you don't have, unless you need people to do whatever it is you're trying to get done, like, make it happen, or you didn't really want it in the first place. So, like, I'm proud of you. Like, that's what's up.
I think, I guess you could say, in terms of reinvention, well, I mean, obviously, I'm single. So, if anything, this COVID thing has told me, like, do I really need to reinvent? Because a lot of the females in my DMs, like, they really like me the way I am. It's just that they didn't say anything, which is dumb. So I'm sitting there like, do I really need to reinvent anything? Like, for real, like, that's a question I'm literally asking myself. Also, I'm not trying to make it seem like I got like 30 people in my DMs. No, I like, my DMs were a barren desert. It was a Sahara, baby. That's how it was. For the people who really know me, I'm barely online as it is. Like, I go on Facebook to post something for my podcast and Scotty's podcast, and then that's it. You know, I use, technically Instagram is my favorite one, but I don't even use that one. Like, I don't use it at all. Like, Twitter, I mean, I might, to be honest with you, I might just delete the podcast Twitter page. I never use it. The only reason I use it is to post, like, hey, new episode is up, you know? So, I've just sat there. I'm just like, man, I don't know. So, lady-wise, I mean, yeah, sure. I'm going to be working on some stuff because, you know, I've definitely known that, like a lot of people, I've gained weight during this thing, even with all the work, even with some of the working out I've done. So, man, once I'm allowed to just get back in there and punch a bag ball. Like, also, like, hot girl summer or hot boy summer, it's gone.
Yeah, it's like, you save that for next year.
Nah, save that for next year. Maybe y'all have, like, a hot winter.
Oh, it's cold out here.
Yeah, so I'm just in, like, that's all gone. Like, it just shows how much... this whole kind of lockdown is like showing how much discipline, how much dedication you have, and also like goal setting. Like, a lot of things that I feel like a lot of people, like, especially maybe some women, are really looking for a person. Like, you got to have that drive. This is a way to showcase it. This whole lockdown thing. So it's gonna be so curious to see. I cannot wait to finally come home and see my mom and see y'all, because, hey, I miss y'all so much right now. It's not even funny. I miss the whole squad bad right now. And I'm sitting there like, man, it's crazy. The last time I saw everybody was what? The New Year's party?
Yeah, New Year's party.
New Year's party. And that was the last time I saw everybody. And I sat there, I was like, man, I kind of took that for granted a little bit. So.
Well, I think everybody did. I mean, no, like I said, if you told anybody like 6 months ago, or like the New Year's party even 4 months ago, that something like this was going to happen, like, nobody would have believed it. Nobody.
Well, guys, that was a podcast. If you guys have any questions for me or Cameron about, I guess, COVID, whatever, if you have any questions about anything that we said, you can hit up the podcast at 815-539-2698. It's actually incredible. I still remember that. You can also email the podcast at myycmwt@gmail.com. You can follow the podcast on Facebook and Twitter at YCMWT for both. Don't forget to like, share, and subscribe on all of the podcast platforms that this podcast is on, and probably even more. I might actually also switch my podcast like provider, but I haven't thought about it yet. Just a lot of things. Also, shout out to all my international listeners, or people who use VPNs but just listening through an international server or whatever. Shout out to y'all. It's always kind of cool to see every time I look back. I'm like, oh, I had somebody from Barcelona listen today or something like that. You know, Shout out to all those people. I still try to figure out how the hell did you guys find my podcast? Because if there's somebody in Spain trying to learn about American culture from this podcast, you could best go somewhere.
Yeah, you're looking for the next best thing, homie. Shoot. Yeah,
if anything, you should like, hey, this guy really complains about America all the time.
Where not to go and what not to do.
Yeah. But thank you guys so much for listening. I hope you guys are all staying safe. Take care of your families. Don't go see that girl, especially if you don't know her. Like, man, if it's your girlfriend, like you've been known, if it's your girl, go ahead, bro. If it's some just some random girl you've been sliding her DMs for over the last couple months, and she's like, yeah, she wants you to come over, and I'm like, first of all, bro, you're risking the disease, and you don't even know what she's, you don't know what she's about. Good luck, bro. Yeah, that's it. Anything you want to say to the people? Anything else?
Take care. Take it easy. Be safe.
I thank you guys so much for listening. I'm so glad that we're actually able to get this done this way. I actually really like this thing. So now, also, we can have up to 6 people on this thing, Pee-wee. So we can have the whole squad and a couple plus ones on here if we feel it.
I like the sound of that. Got to get everybody on board, though.
Yes, sir. We had somebody, and then we had the whole wolf pack here.
Work in progress.
Muneka done got cold feet. We'll work on it. Alright guys, take care of yourself. Stay safe. Don't do anything stupid. And please, I know states are opening up, but guys, really think about it, because we haven't even hit a point. Like, we're not even hitting a point where our doctors are comfortable with us even going out, let alone opening up stuff. So just be careful. If you are gonna go out into the community and you're gonna go work or whatever, just please be careful. Alright guys, stay safe. Love you both. This is Pee-wee from California signing off. This is Luther from Kansas signing off. Bye, guys.
Take it easy.